So, I don't know about you, but I think men wrestle with this more, ladies, maybe, but we can zone out better than anyone, right? Like, men are able to zone out probably better than anyone. My wife, it used to drive my wife nuts that my kids would be going crazy in the background, and she would literally be like, "Do you not hear them? Like, they're getting ready to kill themselves. Like, do you not hear what's going on?" And I'd be like, I was totally oblivious. I can zone out with the best of them, right? And I don't know if you remember the saying, but you're hearing me, but you're not listening to me, right? Anybody ever say that phrase? Like, you're hearing me, but you're not listening to me. What does it mean to listen, right? So the question I kind of want to answer, or at least go down a path with, is that question. What does it mean to listen? Because all of us hear things, right? So listening, and we use those terms, right? Both in the same, we use them both in the same way. But listening has to do with something a little bit more. When you listen to somebody, you're taking what they say, right? And then you are acting upon it, right? So listening is me going, I hear what you're saying, but I don't just hear it, I'm going to do it, right? And I think Ecclesiastes, we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and I really believe that what the preacher, which is Solomon, right? He's known as the preacher in this passage. What he has to say to us today is really important. Because we often can come into God's presence very confident in ourselves. Not confident in God, but confident in us. And we fail to realize who God is and who we are. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we pray that as we get into your word today, Lord God, that whatever we say, Lord God, whatever we hear, that we listen to it, not just hear it, but listen to it, Lord. For your word is living and active. Sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates and divides joint and marrow, soul and spirit. It judges the attitudes and thoughts of our hearts. And so, Lord, I pray that you break down all the walls of pride that is in this room, of arrogance. Lord, that you'd break all those walls down, Lord God, of ego. And Lord, that we would simply come into your presence, Lord God, desiring to experience you and hear from you. For we ask it all to your glory, King Jesus. Amen. So Ecclesiastes chapter 5, let's dive in. Guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know they are doing evil. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For the dream comes through much effort and the voice of a fool through many words. When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it, for he takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Do not let your speech cause you to sin, and do not say in the presence of the messenger of God that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry on account of your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For in many dreams and in many words, there is emptiness. Rather, fear God. So the first thing I want us to get off the gate is this. We draw near to God. We draw near to God. It's that first point. We draw near to God. We draw near in recognition of who God is. Listen, We don't come into this place to listen to someone preach a message. We gather together in the hopes that as in our unity, because we're brothers and sisters in Christ, that we come before God collectively to hear from him, to listen to him, to do what he asks. But God is God and you are not. Right? But how often do we come, man, in our prayers, we come before God in a way to be like, we presume upon the grace of God in all, in every sphere of our life. Like we presume upon the grace of God. We think that God owes us something at times. We think that God, I had a student come to my office and he goes, why doesn't God answer my prayer? And I was like, listen, or he felt like God was silent. You ever feel like God was silent in your life? Like God just wasn't hearing you. Like your prayers were hitting the ceiling, that no one was listening. And I said to him, man, God is not a genie in a bottle. You don't rub the lamp. Like God is a person. What's amazing is this God who's in heaven came down to earth to reconcile you back to himself, to have a relationship with you that you would not have had, right? And so here the preacher, that hasn't even happened yet, but here the preacher is going, hey, remember, God's in heaven and you're on earth. Recognize who you are. Because, man, sin has a way of making us prideful, of giving us a haughty spirit, of making us think we're greater than we really are. No one came into this room, unless you're in a place of depression or something, but none of us came into this room thinking we are the worst person that ever lived. Right? None of you came in here thinking you don't have it together. Now, some of you maybe came in this room thinking that, but a lot of us came in thinking we're doing okay. You know, like it could be worse, right? Like our pride, sin has a way of deceiving us into thinking that we are better than we really are. Because what's at the center of sin? I, you, me. My desires, my wants, my, and how often have I come before God and just unloaded? How often have I had the moments where I wanted to blame God for something that was happening? Isaiah 55:8 reminds us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Just a newsflash for you. God doesn't think like you. Now, I know you think he does. I know that because I think that. Right? I know you think that he doesn't like certain people because you don't like them. Right? God's okay with me hating that one because he doesn't like him much either, right? So we think that way. We think to ourselves, God's okay with me flicking that person off in traffic because he would do it too. Newsflash, God's not like you. He's not like me. His thoughts are not my, his thoughts are far above my thoughts. His ways are far greater than my ways. The things I would do, he wouldn't do. And this is what the preacher is trying to get us to understand. This is what Psalm is trying to get into our being. You're coming before a God who already knows everything about you. There's nothing that is in your life that he doesn't know, right? There's nothing you're going through that he hasn't been there with you the whole time. There's nothing you're experiencing that he has not himself experienced on this earth when he was here. Like that is the God that we're coming before. But yet we think to ourselves, God doesn't get it. We don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Psalm 145:3 says this, great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. When you can't find something, even when you're seeking it out, now you find bits and pieces of it, but the greatness of God is unsearchable. That means you and I have, if you're a follower of Christ in this room, you and I have eternity waiting for us. But his ways are unsearchable. Who he is, his greatness is unsearchable. You could seek and seek and seek for all of eternity and never get to the end of his unsearchable greatness. And we come before that God lacking humility greatly. Because what we say to ourselves is, well, he loves me. Well, he cares for me. Well, I think I'm great. For sure, God thinks I'm great. Listen to Matthew 6, 7, and 8. This is from our master. Amen. Jesus said this, and when you pray, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them. So there's a difference between praying meaningless things and just repetition of words because you think that by them, God is hearing you more. We should cry out to God in deep supplication and heartfelt prayers. And we should spend a lot of time praying for people. So that's not what Jesus is talking about. Can we bring that back up, that scripture back up? So do not be like them. Like the Gentiles who just keep saying the same thing over and over again. If you think about, remember Mount Carmel, where Elijah was on Mount Carmel, and they had the two sacrifices, right? And the Gentiles, right? The pagans were cutting themselves and jumping up and down and being like, you know, like they thought by doing that, God, their God would listen to them. And all Elijah does is step up to the plate and praise. And fire is sent from heaven. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Listen, when you come before God, he already knows. That's how deeply in tune God is with you. Every hair on your head, or minus them, shh. Every hair on your head is numbered. He knows every single one of them. It doesn't count very long for me, but. All right, second point. So why do we draw near? How do we draw near? We draw near in recognition of who God is, and we draw near to listen. See, you and I go into prayer oftentimes going, God, I got a list of laundry that you need to take care of, right? We go to God and we're like, God, you see all these problems that are happening in my life? You see everything that's going on? My kids are jacked up. I'm not feeling too great. Like, everything in my world is falling apart. Like, you need to take care of this. Instead of just sitting in the presence of God and listening to him, be still and know, right? Because in that moment, you're going, God, you already know everything. You already know everything I need. You know everything I'm thinking. You know everything that I'm pondering. You know everything that I'm wrestling with. You know all the stress. You know all the anxiety. You know everything that's happening in my being. So let me come before you, not with a heart of, let me tell you all my stuff, but with a heart of just being still and knowing that you're God and I'm not. And maybe in my humility, I'll be able to hear your voice. You know, Mother Teresa was asked one time, I don't know if I said this to you guys before, but Mother Teresa was asked one time, when you pray, what do you say? Now, it's with Jay Leno, right? Which, if you remember Jay Leno. Anyway, so Jay Leno asked her this question, when you pray, what do you pray? Which, to ask Mother Teresa, who had done so much good in the world, that's a pretty good question to ask her, right? And she goes, I listen. And Jay, with a huge smile on his face, goes, Okay, well then what does God say? And she said, he listens. Come on. Mother Teresa was like, we don't need to say a word. We just listen to each other. They say that there's intimacy in relationship when you feel the need to not fill the void with noise, but you can simply just be in each other's presence. See, you and I, we say we want intimacy with God, but are we willing to do what it takes to get it? Because what it takes to get the intimacy is to be still. Because God wants to speak to you, but if you keep talking, you're not letting him get a word in. Listen, I talk all the time. I am a talker. Anybody else? Like, I fill the void with noise all the time. I don't like quiet. I don't like it. Anybody else? I'm like, if no one's saying anything, we have a problem, right? Like, that's how I feel about it. But so listening to me is real difficult, especially in prayer, because I want to fill the void, right? Listen to Proverbs 17, 20. I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses because I feel it so deep in my soul. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. So if you could have a complete idiot sitting there, but everyone's going to think he's so eccentric. He's so interesting. If he just keeps his mouth shut, right? And you and I look like fools because we can't stop yapping. Maybe it's just something I wrestle with. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. Ergo, shut up. That's what Solomon's saying, shut up. Or be quiet. Yeah, yeah. Some people don't like that word, shut up. I feel like that's too strong. But be quiet. Stop talking. Listen. Listen. James 1:19 reminds us, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear. I use the word hear there, same thing though. Slow to speak and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. How do we receive it? By listening. But we don't just take it in, no. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. We don't go to the Word of God just to read it. How many of you have ever done that, though? Let's be honest. Seriously, yeah, I've done it. My hand's raised. It's not raised just to get you to raise it, right? It's not like, who all here's done it? Y'all. You know, no, me too. Man, I've gone to the Word because it's what you do. Like, we're called as Christians to read the Bible. And so sometimes we just go to the Bible because we're like, well, I got to do it today. Right? And so we just read it. And then we close it and we walk away forgetting what we even read. You know what I love about preaching? Is when I've preached a message and people are like, that was a great message. And I'm like, praise the Lord. I'm glad that God spoke to you through it. But then they don't remember what it was about. I'm like, okay, fair. Like, what really bothers me is when I preach a message and I forget what I preached. Because I think to myself, Lord, I know what you had to say was important, but why can't I even recall what I said? So I don't even blame you for it because I do it to myself. But we go to the Word of God, and instead of going to the Word of God to listen, we just go to the Word of God to hear. Because if it's not transforming your life, then you're not listening. And I would challenge you to sit in a verse. I would challenge you. I spent about a month, maybe it was 2 weeks. I spent about 2 weeks just every day pondering upon John 3:16. I was like, I just want to sit in this verse for days. And you know what happened? I started to doubt less that God loved me. I was reminding myself daily of the gospel, right? Pick a verse and listen to it. Let it get into your being. Listen, if you're struggling with loving people, read Matthew 5, where he says, love your enemy, right? Value your enemy. Whatever you're wrestling with, find the Bible verse that goes along with it and sit in it. And then do it. Will the opposite. See, you and I, we think that our feelings dictate what we do. No. You will it. I will not think this way. I will not do this that I want to do. No, I'll do that instead. That's listening to the word of God. You're not just being a hearer of it, being a doer of it. And we draw near thoughtful of what we say. We draw near thoughtful of what we say. We don't just go before God and just go, blah, 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 you know, word salad all over God, right? And be like, I hope you're listening, Lord. Because I feel like what I just said was super important. And let's face it, I'm your favorite anyway. I know you got a lot of kids, but I'm the one at the top, right next to Jesus, right? We go to God thoughtfully with a thoughtful heart. Listen to James 4, 13 through 15. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. So we come before God with all of our plans. We come before God and we go, God, this is what I'm doing. And God's going, you don't even know what tomorrow's bringing. Like, you don't. There are times when all of us in this room know what it's like to have plans and then have those plans go seriously awry because something happened that we were not expecting. But yet we plan as if we have all knowledge. And we go before God with our concerns and our prayers in such a way to go, God, I want you to do this. So we presume upon God to tell him what he should do. Anybody? Am I alone in that? Am I the only one that has ideas for God? No? Okay. I'm seeing a lot of smiles, but not a lot of like, I do that all the time. I felt really alone there. We presume to tell God what he should do when he's all know. I love when Jesus says to his apostles and his disciples and the people around him, he says, your father knows how to give good gifts to you. He's not going to give you a stone, or he's not going to give you a snake when you're asking for a fish. Or, you know what I mean? He's not going to give you a stone when you're asking for bread. He knows how to give good gifts to you. Sometimes you and I ask for snakes. And we're like, God, I just want that snake. I want the snake. And God's going, I'm not going to give you a snake. Are you out of your mind? I'm going to give you a fish. And then we get the fish, and we're disappointed that God didn't give us the snake. Or we're like, I really want this stone. My life would be so much better, Lord, if I just had this stone. And God's like, I'm not going to give you a stone. Are you out of your mind? And so he gives us bread, and we're like, I didn't want the bread. And we get angry at God for being a good God. Because he gave us what we needed, not what we wanted. And any of you parents in this room know, you went to the grocery store to get what your kids needed. When you got to the checkout aisle, they wanted the candy bar. But all a candy bar is sugar and junk. You brought nutritious food because you wanted to, some of us do. I mean, some of us bought like junk food too, but because we're not as good as parents as God is. James 5:12 says this, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. We don't make vows to God. We simply let our yes be yes and our no, no. If you said you'd do it, do it. If you said you're not going to do it, don't do it. How many of us wrestle with that? Amen? How many times have we gone before God and we go, God, I'm so sorry. I'm never going to do that again. And then tomorrow comes and you do it again. And then you feel bad about it again. You're like, God, please, I'm so sorry. I'm never going to do that. Stop saying that. Stop saying you're never going to do it again. Stop saying it. Because you don't know. Amen? Now you can say, Lord, help me not to do that again. Help me to will the opposite. But don't go to God and say, I've done that myself. It took the Holy Spirit dropping it in my mailbox and saying, Aaron, quit telling me you're not going to do that again. Because you don't know what tomorrow brings. So stop saying that. Too many of us presume on the grace of God when God's grace is there to teach us to say no to the things we shouldn't do. And we presume on God's goodness, thinking we deserve everything he's given us, instead of just realizing, no, he's God and I'm not. And let me say this, the greater always serves the lesser. It's the only way it works. When my kids were little, I had to wipe their butt. Why? Because they couldn't do it. It wasn't because they were greater than me. It wasn't because they were greater than me. It's because in that moment, they were lesser than me. Right? You're the lesser. God's the greater. He serves you. And in serving you, you ought to serve him. Because we're not worthy of it. Let's go to that Hebrews passage, and I'm going to end with that. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. No. But one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let's draw near with confidence, but not confidence in ourselves, confidence in his finished work. Amen? To the throne of grace. Because let me tell you something, you come to God confident in yourself here, this is no longer a throne of grace, but a throne of judgment. Because you have no leg to stand on in and of yourself. It's only a throne of grace, and we can only come before him confidently because of who he is, not because of who we are. Because of who he's made us to be, not because of what we've made ourselves to be. Amen? The throne of grace with, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the preacher reminds us, when you draw near, guard your steps. Look at your life. Guard your steps as you come to the house of God. Now, you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So when we literally drop to our knees in prayer, when we literally pray, we are at that moment in communion with God in a way that they had to go to a temple to do, right? Remember Jesus said, there's coming a time we will not worship on this mountain or in Jerusalem, but the worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, right? You're doing that. Amen? Jesus has purchased forever our communion with him. And when we come to this building to gather as the people of God, we guard our steps. And when we draw near not to throw up on God all the requests that we have, but to listen. Some of you are great listeners. Some of you need help. I don't listen well. And I need to listen better. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. And Lord, we don't want to presume on the grace of God, on your grace. And Father, we thank you for the Lord's Prayer that teaches us to pray, "Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."